you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke is where we'll be this morning. And we'll read from the Word of God. I want to thank Preacher for allowing me to preach today. And hope to hear from the Lord today. Luke chapter 16. We'll read a few verses and then we will listen to the special. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, thank you for the word today. We ask now that it would be ingrained in our hearts and minds this morning. Bless the special. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we read a text that is difficult to grasp. It's difficult to comprehend, not because it's difficult to read the words, but because it's truly difficult to understand in our hearts and our minds. I have a friend. He tells me, he may not always tell me the truth, or he may not always tell me what I want to hear, but he will tell me the truth. And there are things in the Bible that we preach at this pulpit and that we teach in this church that are wonderful truths. How that we have a friend named Jesus that sticketh closer than a brother. What a wonderful truth that is. How that we have hope everlasting because the tomb is empty. How that Jesus is the lily of the valley and the bright in the morning star and the great rose of Sharon. And we understand that there are truths and there are sweet truths, and that Jesus came and He taught us many things about how to live our lives and how to truly have fellowship with the Father. And those are wonderful truths and sweet truths. But then there are truths that we must come face to face with that we don't quite understand, that aren't quite so easy to comprehend. And Jesus told us of one of these truths when He told us that there was a rich man and there was a beggar, and both of these men died. And one of these men went to paradise, and the other man, as He said, lift up his eyes, being in torments. He lift up his eyes in hell. My flesh does not want to preach this morning, but I must tell you that we must understand the whole counsel of God. And the whole counsel of God must be preached. Be instant in season and out of season. That means when it's easy to preach and when it's not easy to preach. When it's
easy to hear and when it's not easy to hear. And there are some truths in the Bible that are not easy to hear. And this is one of them. But I want to tell you that I do not speak this morning on my own authority. You may be sitting here wondering, how can a young 22-year-old preacher think that he can stand at a pulpit and have the authority to preach on such a delicate topic of eternal hell? I'm not here by my own authority, but I'm here to tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ said about this matter. You see, the one speaking is the one that was born of a virgin. The one speaking is the one who came to this earth. He put on the robe of flesh. He left the glory of heaven for this gory earth. And he put on the robe of flesh and he came and he performed miracles. And he taught many things and he did wonderful things. And he preached the truth, whether men liked it or not. He was the man that said to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, he said, "I am." That was a direct statement of the deity of Jesus Christ. That man named Jesus who walked the earth was indeed the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. I am. I am. When Moses was speaking with the Lord at the burning bush on the Mount Sinai, and he asked, "Who shall I tell the Israelites who has sent me?" The Lord said, "Tell them, I am hath sent thee. I am that I am." What does he mean by I am? I am that one that was never constrained by time, never constrained by space, never constrained by matter. I'm that one that spoke you into existence. I'm that one that in 6 days spoke into existence all that we are, all that we have, all that we will be. I am that one. The one teaching us about hell this morning is the one who, when he was speaking to the man at the pool of Siloam, and the man asked him, "Who is the Lord that you tell me to believe him?" And Jesus looked at him and said, "It is I which speaketh to thee. I am the Lord." This is the one who told John in the book of Revelation, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, and I am the Almighty." I am the Almighty. Jesus is the Almighty. He was revealed as the Worthy One in Revelation chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. He's revealed as the one that's coming again one day on a white horse. He is the one that has all authorities to speak on all eternal matters, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom God has given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the one that's speaking. Why did he have to come? Why did God have to put on a robe of flesh? Why did he have to come and be born of a virgin? Why was it? Why was it? Did he come to reveal the Father? Yes, he did. Did he come to fulfill prophecy? Yes, he did. Did he come to perform miracles? Yes. Did he come to set an example for how we ought to live our lives? Yes. Did he come to prepare for his second coming? Yes. Did he come to become our high priest? Yes. He came to do all of those things. But there's a reason that transcends every other reason, and that is he came to be nailed to a cross. Why must he be nailed to a cross? Was it to shed his blood so he could take his blood to the mercy seat? Yes. Was he nailed to the cross so he could pay the penalty for our sins? Yes. Was it to be nailed to a cross to make a way for you and for me to have access to the Father? Yes. But there's a reason that he was nailed to a cross that we quit talking about, we have quit preaching on, we have quit teaching on. He came to die, and he died so that you and I will not go to hell one day. And we don't talk about that enough. We don't preach about that enough. It's a scary thing to think about. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus has all authority to speak on the matters of eternal destination more than anyone else. Not just because he is God or was God in the flesh. Not just because he walked out of his own tomb. But because he suffered your hell on the cross at Calvary. He is the only person that will ever, ever spend eternity in heaven who suffered hell. And he did it on the cross at Calvary. And so we read that Jesus teaches us. And by the way, Jesus, more than any other preacher or more than any other teacher in all the Bible, spoke on the matter of hell. You mean the sweet Jesus that was a good prophet and a good man and did many miracles, spoke more on hell? More than Elijah, more than Daniel, more than Ezekiel, more than Isaiah, more than John, more than Luke, more than any other man in all the Bible, Jesus spoke on the matters of hell. He said, "I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which hath the power to cast both body and soul into hell." He said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, the great liberal sermon, the sermon of the Beatitudes, the sermon where he said, "Blessed is the poor in spirit, and blessed is the meek and the lowly of heart, and blessed are you and blessed are they." And he said in Matthew chapter 5, he talked about hell fire. Jesus spoke on the matter of hell. And he teaches us in the book of Luke, chapter number 16 and verse 21, "There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate," that's the rich man's gate, "who was full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Now look at verse number 22. "It came to pass that the beggar died." He died. You mean we're going to die one day? Yeah, we're going to die one day. "It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." I marvel at the fact that people live like they're going to live forever. It's an amazing thing to think about, that you can spend your entire life on this earth and you can look at the trees and the birds and the sunlight and you can see the lightning and you can see the beautiful paintings of creation that God has given us, and nobody ever stops to think, "I wonder if I'm going to meet the man or the person that made the painting of this creation, the God that put us here." We live like we're going to live forever. And many Christians listen to that preaching and they amen that. Yes, we need to understand that we need to think about eternal things. Jesus told us to lay our riches up in heaven, not on earth. So we must comprehend and we must understand and we must teach and preach others that there is an eternity to wait at the end of this life. But I want you to know, it's not just the rich man that died, but it's also Lazarus that died. Yes, the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, and that ought to be something that makes all of us stop and wonder one day, what is awaiting for me at the end of my life? But Lazarus died too. The day came when Lazarus could never witness to that man. The rich man wasn't the only one who died that day. But the only person that the rich man knew that went to paradise died. And one day you and I will draw our last breath and we'll look back and we'll be able to wonder, did I witness to them? Because my last chance just left me. And in hell, the rich man lift up his eyes. Yes, death has a sting for the person that's going to an eternal hell. But you know what I cry this morning? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Death has no sting to me. The grave has no victory to me. Why? Because I put my faith in one that holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And by believing on him, I can know that the sting of hell I will never have to face. Why? Because Jesus faced it on the cross at Calvary. We read in verse number 23, "In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." What do we read about this place called hell? We read that it is a place of torment. It is a place of torment. It is a place of torment. What kind of torments are there? The torments of the memories that we have of the good things in this earth, the memories of the good times on this earth, the memories of all the ways we lived for ourselves on this earth. I wonder if this man was tormented when he was being raised up as a little boy with a mother and a father who taught him the ways of God. Maybe he had a mother like Timothy had, Lois, and a grandmother, Eunice, and maybe he was being taught the oracles of God, but one day he decided that he would chase worldly pleasures instead. I wonder if he is tormented by the memory of the preacher that would preach at church the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder if he would remember all that he's tormented by all the good memories of earth, and how that he chased pleasure, and how that he chased his pride, and how that he chased materialism, and how that he chased all the pleasures of this world instead of lifting high the things of God. Torments. He's tormented in this flame. We understand that hell is a place where you are in a crowd of murderers, and you are with a crowd of liars, and you are with a crowd of adulterers, and you are with a crowd of religious Pharisees. And that's not a crowd I want to spend eternity with. We see that he was tormented. Could I tell you something? On the cross, Jesus was tormented. Jesus was tormented. Jesus was nailed to a cross. He was beaten. He was mocked. His garments they cast lots upon his garments. They put up a sign that said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They mocked him and they crucified him on the cross. And we read in Psalm chapter number 22, the Bible says that many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. We cannot begin to comprehend the spiritual torments of Jesus on the cross. He was tormented on that cross. Why did he have to face the torments of the cross? So that one day you and I can look back and say, we'll never face the torments of hell. Praise be to God. We read in verse number 24, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." We read that hell is a place of flames. Hell is a place of fire. We don't like to think about eternal fire. That's not a comforting thought to us. That's not something we want to begin to even try to grasp or understand. But yet the Bible says the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments, and now all he is desiring is one drop of water. Send Lazarus and help him dip his finger in the water, and may he just dip it on my tongue. Why? Because I'm tormented in this flames forever and ever and ever. Forever and ever and ever. I remember as a little boy, we would have large bonfires. And I remember my dad would take a can of diesel and he would throw it on that bonfire, and there the flames, and the flames would come. And I remember that just the instant heat that would hit me. And one day when I was an 11-year-old boy, it hit me. That heat, that roaring flames, that would potentially be my eternity. Why? 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 Because I would have rejected Christ. But listen, one day I recognized that I didn't have to go to a place of flames. I recognized I didn't have to go to a place of torments. I didn't have to go to a place where my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. I didn't have to go to a place where there was gnashing and wailing and where there was eternal cries and the bottomless pit. Because one day I recognized that there was a man that suffered hell for me on the cross at Calvary. Remember, Jesus cried at the cross. He said, "I thirst, I thirst, I thirst." All he wanted was one little drop of water. He said in Psalm 22, "My tongue cleaveth to my jaw. My heart is like wax. It is melted into the midst of my bowel." He said, "I thirst, I thirst, I thirst." And in hell, there are people for all of eternity crying, "I thirst, I thirst, I thirst, I thirst." But I got a drink of living water one day. I got a drink of living water. So one day I won't have to cry, "I thirst, I thirst." My thirst has been quenched for all of eternity. Oh my. Jesus went through the thirst on the cross. Verse 25, Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented." I'll tell you, there's going to be memories in hell. Going to remember the good days. Going to remember the days when I woke up in a warm bed and I had shoes on my feet and food in my belly and everything was okay. But I didn't stop to think about if I'd ever meet my Maker. Memories. What did that thief on the cross ask Jesus? He said, "Lord, remember me." You know, there's a day when I'm going to be standing in the throne room of God and I'm going to realize that I'm never going to have to remember what things once were on this earth. And I'm never going to have to plead what things for the things that once were on this earth. Why? Because when Jesus was on the cross, he remembered me. He looked through the portals of time into the corridors of our time, and he looked upon you and me, and he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And that thief on the cross cried, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And what did Jesus say? "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the fact that the cry of eternity for Jesus on the cross was that you and me might have a day when he could smile and look down and say, "You will be with me in paradise. This hell that I'm suffering on the cross, it's for you. I'm doing it for you. Why? Because I want you. I elected you. I love you. I'm calling you. I'm drawing you. I want you to look and remember me." Why? Because there was a day on the cross when I remembered your name. So we wouldn't have to go to hell. There will be memories. Verse 26. "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." I've heard people say, "I can't wait to get to hell and have a great big party." There's going to be no partying in hell. We read of separation. Here's what Abraham is telling the rich man. He says, "There is a gulf between us, and there will be no leaving hell, and there will be none of us leaving paradise to be with you. That will not happen. That cannot happen. We are talking about eternal separation from God. We are talking about eternal separation from your loved ones. It is a selfish, selfish thing to look a loved one in the face and say, 'I don't want to be with you for eternity. You're never going to see me again.' But listen to me, listen to me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can tell you that I've got a grandma one day that I'm going to have a reunion with. And I've got a grandpa one day that I'm going to have a reunion with. And I've got friends that have left me that I'm going to have a reunion with. And the day's going to come when I'm going to be rejoicing around the throne of God, casting crowns at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because I'm not in hell. Because every good work that I did in this earth, I was unworthy to receive a crown of. Because everything that I've ever done, every blessing of God, I was unworthy of. What was I worthy of? I was worthy of eternal flame. But Jesus took the eternal flames out of my life when he died at the cross. Therefore, I'm going to cast crowns at his feet one day. Oh my, what a blessed hope we have. Separation. You know, Jesus suffered separation on the cross. He cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was on the cross when he took our sins and he took our hell. And God said, "I cannot look upon the iniquity. I cannot look upon Josh's iniquity. I cannot look upon Paulette's iniquity. I cannot look upon Steve's iniquity." And so the Holy Spirit left. And we see that the Father left. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he suffered eternal separation from the love of the Father. And can I tell you, it's a sad, sad thing when the closest place that some people will ever get to being to the Father is here on this earth. One day I'm going to be in His throne. One day. Jesus taught us in three other Gospels that hell is outer darkness. Hell is a place of outer darkness. It's a place of loneliness. It's a place of separation. It's a place of torment. But the outer darkness of hell, Jesus suffered on the cross. For 3 hours it was dark on that cross. And there He was, all alone. You say, Brother Andy, why are you preaching this to us? Why are you talking about these uncomfortable things? Why are you stepping on our toes? My goal is not to step on your toes. My goal is for the Word of God to pierce your heart. You want to know what Abraham told the rich man? Here's what he told him. He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. I want to tell you what you've got. You've got the Word of God. You've got the Son of God over 17 times in the Bible warning you of an eternal place called hell. You've got the Word of God telling you. You've got the Word of God warning you. You've got the Word of God teaching you. You've got a preacher in front of you warning you. You've got a church full of people that know that they've been saved from eternal hell. And you've not just got our testimony. You've not just got the Word of God. You've got the testimony of countless martyred saints through the last 2,000 years who have died. Why? Because a man rose from the grave. His name was Jesus. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came to this earth and He died on an old rugged cross and He shed His blood to pay the penalty for your sin. But I'm telling you, hallelujah, He lives, He lives. Ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. You have that testimony today. And here's what the Bible says. If you'll not believe this book and you'll not believe the testimony of a risen Savior, you're going to learn of a literal hell one day when you wake up there. That's plainly what the Bible says. Crystal clear. Jesus did not mince words on this matter. This is not a complicated doctrine. Plain as can be, if you'll not believe the Bible and you'll not believe the fact that a man can rise from the grave, the way you're going to find out one day is you're going to wake up there. But I'm here to tell you, this book, it doesn't just warn us about hell. It tells us how to not go there. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, he that hath believed on the Son shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Shall not come into condemnation. Oh, praise God that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God, there is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That Philippian jailer cried. He said, Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was the same answer today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's such a simple an important message that the last few words of the Bible is come. Come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Come. Drink of the water of life freely. Why? So that you'll never cry, I thirst. Have you come to the Savior? You can come to the Savior today. Today can be the day when you come to the foot of the cross and you say, Jesus, remember me. Remember me. And he'll look down and he'll say, "Verily I say unto thee, you will be with me in paradise." And to the Christian, you know what our cry is today? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Why? Because Jesus holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. The only one that has conquered death, hell, and the grave is the only one that can save you. There's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. Christian, you're going to die one day. You're going to die one day. And you're going to be like that beggar. And you're going to look across the gulf and say, "Well, there's the rich man. He didn't receive me. He didn't treat me good. But I can never, ever do anything again to convince him of his Savior." And what's the price? Last week, our preacher stood at this pulpit and he admonished us to remember the cross. And when we remember the cross, we must remember hell. Because it was on that cross that Jesus endured our hell. So one day, I can cast crowns at his feet. Hallelujah. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Needing strength for my journey, I knelt at the cross where Jesus once died for me. Then I asked, "Is this the place where hope abides?" And this he said to me: "Beyond the cross is a tomb that is empty. You won't find me there anymore. And beyond the tomb is life everlasting and hope forevermore." Then I sought reassurance and went to the tomb, to the place where his body once lay. Then I cried, "Lord, help me see, is there hope here for me?" And this I heard.